WFORadio.com presents NHRA Nitro.
I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A weekly look inside the baddest motorsport in the world, NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
It's side by side, it's competition, and it's who wins, and then the chair of the crowd.
Join me as we go WFO with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, I'm Bob Tasca.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
Hey, this is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhart stops by each week to break down each race and answer your email questions.
I mean, the Nitro cars put on a tremendous show. They're otherworldly machines. But for people that are really interested in cars, I mean, you wander through the Superstock pits, and if you're wondering why you don't see 69 Camaros running around on the street anymore, it's because they're all out there in the stock and Superstock pits.
Racing fans from around the globe, it's time to go WFO with Joe Costello.
It's the best time of the year. I don't know.
WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro, folks. Welcome back, NHRA fans. I'm Joe Costello, and it is the winter. We are at winter time. We are at holiday season. We got Christmas and New Year's and everything coming up, but you know what? We're going to make a little time for a little NHRA Mellow Yellow and Lucas Oil Series drag racing. So if you're logging on each week, thank you so much. If you're a first-time listener, maybe you just downloaded the application or stumbled upon our link, well, thank you for clicking it, and hopefully we can have you back every week to listen to our show. We got a great show this week. We've got Terry McMillan going to tell us all about hiring Rob Wendland as his new crew chief. That's going to be very interesting to see it all develop. We had Rob on the show like 4 weeks ago talking about he was a free agent crew chief. Next thing you know, gets together with Terry McMillan, a true fan favorite, going to be on the show. Terry is going to tell us all about it, his plans for 2015. Also on the show, Leah Pritchett. Talk about a racer who has had great success coming up through the junior drag racing program, was a champion in Nostalgia Funny Car, a champion in Pro Modified, and now expanding her program with Gum Out and the Dote Family Racing Team. Leah going to be on the show just minutes from now. Tell us all about her plans for 2015. Big news regarding crew chiefing and even diecast cars for Leah Pritchett. So Leah going to be on the show just minutes from now. And as we continue to try to catch up with all the Lucas Oil Series champions, we've got another one, Cool Hand Luke, Luke Bagacki, Super Gas World Champion in the Lucas Oil Series, back-to-back championships. Last year was Super Comp. This year is Super Gas. What an exclusive club that is to have won two championships in two different categories. Luke Bagacki going to be on this show. So if you're a racing fan, get in, sit down, hold on, get ready, because we're about to go WFO. And if you listen to the show each week, you know we start them all off the same way with this man, the voice of the NHRA, Alan Reinhart. Alan, welcome back.
Joe, great to be back. Great to be here as always. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too. There's a lot of people probably our time-shifted format. They're probably listening to this show Christmas morning while they unwrap their gifts with their family. What do you think?
Yeah, okay, let's go with that.
Yeah. I don't know how many people out there would like and appreciate that, the sound of Joe and Alan first thing Christmas morning, but if they do, they are diehard.
Yeah, I'm not exactly a big, you know, sleigh bells ringing or Frosty the Snowman kind of guy, but I don't believe WFO would be my first thing Christmas morning. Now, if I got a new smartphone, for instance, I might download the app and listen to it Christmas afternoon, but I'm guessing if we're sitting around the tree, there's probably not a lot of people listening at that moment. If I'm wrong, you can call on the live line and tell me I'm an idiot. I'm okay with that.
Tweet your picture sitting around the Christmas tree listening to the WFO app. I agree with you, Alan. I like our program that we do here, but there are times when it is the right time, and there are times where it's probably not the right time. I'm guessing Christmas morning around the tree is not the right time. And we got a great show this week. A lot of newsmakers, Terry McMillan, the hiring of Rob Wendland. That's kind of a cool story, putting those two guys together.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see you know, how well they mesh and how quickly they come around. I actually spoke to Rob a little bit at the PRI show, and he was pretty excited about the opportunity. You know, obviously he's been with some of the big teams, and he's got a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge. Terry is trying to take the step to the next level, and, you know, when Rob was available, they were able to put the thing together. So I think it's just going to be a matter of time, you know, however long it takes for the two of them to mesh and kind of get used to each other. But that's, I know that Rob is excited about the challenge. I'm assuming, I haven't spoke to him, but I'll listen. I assume that Terry's excited about the upcoming season now, and I think there might be, you know, another legitimate player in the game.
I am excited as well. And in the conversations that we have, you and I, and then talking with the racers, it just hits me over and over again how difficult this is, how hard it is, the logistics, the sponsorship. Leah is going to come on and talk a little bit about chasing sponsorship and just all the elements that goes into being successful at the track. Even before you get there, it's difficult, let alone getting there, working the logistics, and now you have to compete against the best in the world. This stuff is really hard.
Well, it certainly is, and you know, that's what, you lose sight of some of that. You know, when you look at the success that some of the big teams have, whether it's the Schumachers, whether it's the Colettas, whether it's the JFRs, whether it's the, and you know, it really looks like, well, geez, you know, okay, I can buy that, you know, I can buy the same cylinder heads, I can buy the same blowers. Well, why can't my car run like that? And a lot of it is attention to detail, and it is exponentially harder to go fast the faster you go. If you do, you know, street cars, hot rods, you know, weekend warrior stuff, if you have a 15-second car that you're trying to make into a 14-second car, that's not the toughest thing in the world. If you have a 10-second car that you're trying to make into a 9-second car, it is exponentially harder to pick up that little bit of performance. And that continues to get tougher and tougher the faster you go. You know, running 375 versus running 385, doesn't sound like a big performance thing, but it is a very difficult jump to make. And, you know, you look at the number of cars out there that come out, and, you know, a lot of times we only have 17, 18 cars, so you can run a 390 or a 392 and get in the field, but that's not going to get you very far on race day when you're racing up against one of those, like I said, one of those Schumacher cars, one of those, you know, Morgan Lucas cars, one of those Coletta cars that can run 370s. And Rob is a guy that knows how to make cars run, and that realm, it's just a matter of whether or not they have the right parts and pieces and people in place as well, because attention to detail then starts coming in. You know, when you walk through the pits, I think it's always very interesting on Sunday morning when you walk through the pits, which is my favorite time. Everybody that unloaded a car is expecting to have a long day. Whether you qualified first, you qualified 16th, your hopes are high. You know, at this point, anything can happen. But if you walk through and you look at the Alanabi teams and the Colletta teams and the Schumacher teams, that don't even have the cylinder heads on the car yet, because they're waiting for the last minute to decide what head gaskets to put on, because that adjusts the compression, and they have it down to a finite science that there's times when you need 5,000ths more or 5,000ths less head gasket. Now, a team that doesn't have the huge budget and doesn't have all the personnel and doesn't have 10 drawers full of head gaskets may already have their car put together, because that's a car that is going to go out and try to run, you know, a 390, a 395, and hope the guy makes a mistake. But the difference between running a 390 and running a 375 is huge, and it's a big jump. And it looks like Terry McMillan's in a position that he's ready to try to take that next step and jump up there and be one of the competitive guys. But it's very difficult to do. You know, you see all of the cars look basically the same when they're on the starting line. You know, if you wander back through the pits, and yeah, all the guys, you know, are working on them and rebuilding them and doing their stuff, but there are some really subtle differences that separate the super teams from the guys that are out there hoping. And looks like Terry's going to try to make the next step, and we'll see how it all plays out.
Leah Pritchett and the Doat Family Racing team, almost a mirror of that conversation, kind of coming from a different angle in that she's a little newer to the Top Fuel class, but bringing on Rob Flynn as co-crew chief. She will tell us about that, and just trying to solidify that full-time sponsorship, get as much budget as possible to be able to go out and buy the parts, crew members, brain power, all these things that it takes to even put yourself in the position to learn.
Well, I think Leah's a great example. That's a car that was running good, solid, consistent mid-380s. You know, they might run a 381, a 382 from time to time, but that's a car that was going to run 385, 386. Didn't hurt a lot of parts. Didn't, you know, the thing was almost never on fire, was almost never having problems. It just was making consistent runs. Well, you decide you want to step up. and it's a step. You know, when Rob Flynn comes over, lends his expertise, they make some changes, do some stuff, and in Vegas, they stepped up. She was running career best numbers, you know, was making that step, getting closer to the contenders. But as she had said before, it's like, you know, we've been trying and trying and trying to break into the 370s, but we don't know how to do that. And it's not just a matter of, hey, I know I can run 385. Okay, let's put more blower on it, and it'll run 375. You have to have everything perfect, and it's just exponentially harder. You know, the guys that have the big budgets, that make a lot of runs, that share a lot of information back and forth, obviously can learn that quicker than the single-car teams. And that's why when you get a Rob Flynn, as you mentioned, a Rob Wedlund like Terry, that has been in that arena and now has that knowledge, he's got something he can bring over and share. And it's not that, you know, the guys you had before weren't capable or weren't, it's just they didn't have that extra ingredient. And that extra ingredient can make all the difference.
It is very cool to watch them go through the process. But, of course, at the end of it all, DSR on top in Top Fuel and Tony Schumacher locking down that eighth championship. And these drivers, Leah and Terry, they're trying to make the top ten to get up there and contend. We'll be talking to them moments from now, Terry and Leah. Also, Luke Bagacki going to be on the show. How about that, Alan? What kind of an accomplishment is it for Luke to join the very brief list of racers who have won championships in two different categories?
That's a pretty special deal. Let me go back just 1 minute before we go on, before we go forward to Luke.
Sure.
The conversation we were just having reminded me of a alcohol team. This has probably been 5 or 6 years ago now. That was always kind of a mid-pack player. You know, they ran okay, but they weren't necessarily, you know, championship threat or race-winning threats. And they had an opportunity to hire a known big-name crew chief. And one of the crew guys comes over and says to me, you know, hey, did you hear we're hiring Joe Costello? He's going to come in next year. Boy, this is going to be awesome. We're going to be championship contenders. And I said, well, that's terrific. I mean, you know, I wish you the best of luck. I can't wait to see how it all plans out. I saw him at Gainesville the following season, and I said, so, what's it like working with Joe Costello? He said, that guy made us change everything on the car. I said, and that's because you had parts that could run 580 in an alcohol car. You didn't have parts that could run 550. And that's but he's like, he made us change everything. It's like, did you just think Joe was going to come in and wave a wand? I mean, he has learned all of this stuff. And, you know, and then some time goes by, and the combination comes together, and all of a sudden the car starts running well and is, you know, a contender to win races and becomes a player. But it's not just a matter of waving a wand. So, anyway. I'm sorry, I thought that was pertinent to the last conversation.
Well, I think it is, and I agree, and we can continue down that road because I think they are all related in that you just don't open the box and bolt this stuff on also. Even when you get to these highest levels and you get the best stuff, whatever the best stuff is, like if I'm giving you the American Express black card, Alan, and say, go get me the best stuff, I think like once we have it, you probably have to do something to it to get the most out of it, right?
Well, actually, you give me the American Express black card and say, go get the best stuff, I'm first going to go get Mike Green or Alan Johnson or one of those, and I'm going to say, okay, here's the black card. Now, go do whatever the hell you need to do, because I'm not the guy that knows how to do that. I assume that you have read, if not, you can go online, but read about Luke Bagacki's championship season and the fact that they basically changed everything on the car. You know, we were running these tires, then we went to these. Well, then we had to change from this converter to that converter, and then we didn't have the right low gear in the transmission, and then we didn't, and just everything to make the car consistent so that you can go to the starting line every time, and if you've got it set up to run 89, be confident that it's going to run 89, so you know where you are on the track. How many times, you've been around it, Joe, how many times, whether you're the driver or whether you're talking to the guy after the run, do you have a guy that going down there goes, man, I thought I was set up on an 89. It turns out I was going 85. I didn't have no way to win that race.
Yeah.
Well, you have to eliminate that variable, and there is no, you know, there is no just magic wand. You know, Eddie Krawick or Andrew Hines this last year, they brought out a new motorcycle, had 3 days to build a brand new motorcycle between Norwalk and Chicago. And the reason they did it wasn't because they were slow. It was because just every once in a while, the bike would do something stupid. It was inconsistent. They went, Eddie's bike always does what we tell it. Andrew's bike doesn't always do what we tell it. What's different? Well, geez, that's a newer style chassis, different design, different deal. Well, then we need to get one of those and you need to make the commitment if you want to go. You can keep beating your head against the wall, and you're going to make a good run every once in a while. You know, the old classic, it throws us a bone. But if you want to go out there and be confident in your equipment, whether you're trying to run 1090 or whether you're trying to run 370, you have got to have every little detail in place and all of the stuff working together. It's not, you know, there's never just, you, like I said, you just can't wave a wand and make it happen.
Absolutely, and that's what drives racers to greatness and also drives them crazy at the same time. You mentioned Luke. He's going to be on the show in a little bit. I was very happy to hear he is a regular listener of WFO Radio, which is exciting to know that. We've got world champion listeners out there listening on their way to and from divisional and national events. But what a record. 5 wins, 6 finals out of the 8 races claimed, and sets the what the all-time for points earned in Super Gas, breaking an 18-year-old record?
He definitely had a pretty good season. Once he got the car rolling, and it started, you know, the first race he went to, I believe it was Division III race out in Indy, and he went to the final. So, you know, that certainly put him off to a good start, but it wasn't as easy as it sounds when you look at that record, because he definitely had some struggles there in the middle of the season. I think part of the interesting thing about it, and Luke is wonderful guy, quick smile, he'll help anybody out. He runs a website called thisisbracketracing.com where they give a lot of tips and you know, help a lot of people learn how to get involved with this stuff. But the old classic, you know, hey, it's tough to win when you put that number one on the car. That's like having a great big target on your back. Well, talk about your sleight of hand. You know, well, guys are out there beating on their chest going, hey, I beat the supercar and world champ. He just goes out there and keeps knocking down rounds in the super gas car when apparently nobody was paying attention. So definitely an impressive accomplishment, winning 2 championships in the super ranks. I mean, you look at the list of people that have done that, and I'm just working off the top of my head here, but Edmund Richardson, Scotty Richardson, Sheldon Gecker, Sean Langdon, and now Luke. Is that the whole list?
I don't know the whole list. I'm listening to Alan Reinhart, but it sounds right.
There ain't 20 of them, and guys that have done it twice, you know, it just gets tougher and tougher. You know, a lot of the guys will tell you that, hey, you know, you used to go out even 10 years ago and be able to be 20 on the tree and 92 on the track, and you had a legitimate shot of turning the scoreboard on. Well, you go out there now and try to be 20 on the tree and 92 on the track, and you got a legitimate shot of being the first one of the awning down. It just has gotten so much tougher because everybody's got good equipment, everybody's got the weather stations, and then it comes down to the guy who can make his car run 89 when it's supposed to and not 87. Or, you know, sometimes you go out there depending on who you race. I love the fact that everybody knows what everybody does, right? You get into the big-time players, whether it's the Biondos, whether it's the Rampies, whether it's the Richardsons, whether it's the whoever. Everybody knows the other guy's tendencies. So you have to try to do something to throw a guy off his game. And if that means that, okay, I'm racing Brad Plourd in the final round. Okay, I know what Brad does. Brad sets up a little hot. Brad likes to go down there. He likes to, you know, hit the brakes, cut a guy loose, and try to play the finish line game. Fine, that's all perfectly legal, and it's all part of it, and it's all... Well, now, if Brad knows that, you know, hey, I'm the same guy, right? I set up to go 87, 88. I go down there. I'm going to be whomping the throttle. I'm going to be playing the game. It might be in my best interest to set the car up to run 91 and then just close your eyes and hold the throttle down. Don't pay any attention if he starts whomping the throttle, if he's out there, if he's backing into you, if he just let him do whatever he's going to do, because if he believes I'm going to run a draw play and I throw a screen pass, I got a really good shot at getting the first down. And, you know, if he knows that I'm going to run a screen pass and he's set up for that and that's what I do, well, it's going to be more difficult for me to make that work. And sometimes that's just all part of the game. You know, I've seen Edmund Richardson at big dollar bracket races, and we're talking 8 mile stuff here, okay, so take that into consideration. But I've seen him dial 560 on one run, and then 520 on the next, and then 495 on the next, and then 515 on the next, because he has so much confidence in his car that he can make it do that, and there's no way that you can sit back there in the pits and go, okay, I've got a plan, here's what I'm going to do. And that puts the opponents on their heels all the time, and it's interesting, and you don't even have to be that big a swing. You know, you look at the John LaBusse's, the Luke or again, the Edmund Richardsons, the big dollar bracket guys that go out there and do that, and they will vary the dial 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and they'll do it with weight, or they'll change the starting line RPM 200, or they'll do something, just something. So it's a little bit different, and it makes it that much more difficult to get a beat on them. So it just, you know, it's all part of the adventure, and that's the fun of getting out there bracket racing. Go to your local NHRA track and try it one time. You'll get hooked, just like everybody else.
Simple as that, and much of our interview with Luke upcoming is going to be spent on that, convincing the WFO radio listener who maybe goes to Frank Hawley's drag racing school and gets the dragster adventure one time and gets hooked to get out there. And even if they are in their 13-second streetcar and they cruise into the racetrack and just kind of sit there with a bottle of shoe polish and has a little fun with it, to do it, because it is... you know, it is addictive. It's definitely a good time. There's good people. It's a lot of fun. You can win a little bit of money. And if you do happen to win even a couple of rounds, there's a great feeling of accomplishment that goes with it.
Well, the beauty of NHRA drag racing is that we've got something for everybody. And you don't have to have a specialized car. You know, you don't have to go invest in a Corvette Roadster or in a Super Comp Dragster or in a Top Fuel Dragster. You know, if you got the budget and you want to do it, hey, God bless you. Come on out and play. But if you don't, you can go out and run in a minivan. You can go out and run in your pickup. You can go out and run in whatever it is that you drive on the street, and you can at least get involved and get your feet wet and have a little fun. When I first started racing, when Firebird Raceway originally opened up in 1984, I think three of the first 4 years, the track champion in what is the heavy category, which is the slowest category, you know, a lot of street cars, you know, not a lot of dragsters, not a lot of all-out race cars. But the guy that I believe was the track champion three out of the first 4 years drove a three-quarter ton Chevy truck. The guy was in the construction business, and he used this truck for his business, and he came out and raced it on weekends, and it was unbelievably consistent, and he was very comfortable with, you know, obviously working, cutting lights and working the tree and knowing where the nose of the truck was when he got down to the finish line. So whether he was out in front of you or he was behind you or what he needed to do. And he was just brutal. I mean, he went out there and just wore guys out with a Chevy truck that he drove in his construction business every week. And, you know, that's what you can do in drag racing. You can't do anyplace else. You can't do that in NASCAR. You can't do that in IndyCar. You can't do that in any other form of motorsport. Take the car that you drive on the street, and assuming that it's got the basic safety stuff, right, your seat belts are in it and the battery's tied down and it's got a radiator catch can and just basic safety stuff, you can take that machine out and you can compete and you can win. It just takes a little practice.
I started racing in a three-quarter ton GMC pickup truck. It's so funny you say that. And I had some good success. It was a lot of fun pulling into the track, just pulling into the tech line, rolling out of the tech line, going to the staging lanes, hanging out. You get great seats for the rest of the racing, too. You're right there in the staging lanes. It's funny that your guy was in a three-quarter ton Chevy as well. Maybe there's something to it.
Yeah, it just, you just got to have something. I started racing in my mom's four-door LTD, that had a 351 Windsor two-barrel. The thing was running like 19 seconds or 18 seconds or something. And the first time I was out, I made it to the final. Didn't win, made it to the final, but they gave runner-up trophies. And I remember driving back home from the racetrack thinking, what am I going to do with this, right? I mean, Mom thinks I'm at the library. I certainly can't go walking in with a trophy that says, you know, runner-up in street bracket. And that was kind of the beginning of my driving career. I had been going to the races before with friends that had cars and that kind of stuff, but that was the first time. At the time, there was no junior drag racing league. In order to compete, you had to have a driver's license. So basically all of my buddies were a year or two older than me. I was the last one to turn 16 and get a driver's license. So I'd been going out and watching them race, and then I finally got to go do it myself.
Very, very cool. Now, Alan, we've got 1 week of show left in the 2014 season. Next week, once Christmas is over, prior to New Year's, at that time I will ask you your big moments of 2014 and maybe a little year in review stuff. But let's face it, everybody on WFO, we just want to know one thing. Is the Mustang running yet?
I guess define running, yes. I started it on Saturday for the first time. It is not in a position to be driven yet, but it is in a position where I can start it. I've still got... still got some wiring stuff to finish up, still got some other things, but it is, I guess if you want to get technical, I had it backed out of the shop this morning so I could start it up, warm it up, tried to, you know, make some adjustments and do some stuff, and then I drove it back into the shop. But when I say drove it back into the shop, you know, it's hot-wired, and I'm sitting on the floor because the driver's seat is not in the car right now. But I was able to get in, put it in gear, and drive it back into the shop just so I didn't have to push it.
Will it be ready for the big Christmas party?
Yeah, I think. I think it'll be in a position where it can go around the block. It won't be done. Part of taking a classic car, I mean, for anybody that's listening for the first time or isn't familiar with the story, this is a 67 Mustang that I've had since high school that now has Big Stuff 3 fuel injection on it. And so having to change literally everything from the gas tank forward and having to, you know, do all the computer wiring and all the stuff, I'm still cleaning up and finishing up some of that kind of stuff. It's not completely done, finished yet, but I have a local guy here in town that is really, really sharp on the fuel injection stuff, a guy by the name of Bill Nelson, who's been around for a number of years, and he called me Saturday, and he said, hey, I've got some time. If you want me to come over, we'll fire this thing up. So he brought his laptop over, did the interface with the onboard computer with the Big Stuff 3, set some basic parameters, and we were able to get it fired up. So it's not, hey, I'm ready to go race, chase, and line in a station wagon yet, but for people that come by at the Christmas party, if nothing else, I can start it up. So at least I'll be able to hear it run, even if it's not. I'm hoping to have it in a position where I can at least drive around the block, but I'm not sure that's going to happen.
Okay, well, we're not going to make the Christmas party, at least those of us here in southeastern Florida. Can we hear it run as you make your way off into the distance on this week's show?
Yeah, if you want, I can lay the phone on the desk and start it. If it'll take me about 10 seconds to hook up a couple of wires and get it to start. But if you want to do that, we'll do it.
Through the magic of editing, that 10 seconds will sound like nothing. So if it's not a terrible inconvenience, I think the WFO radio listeners out there would love to hear the sound of Alan Reinhart's Mustang fire up as you leave us here on this day right before Christmas.
All right, I'll do it.
Alan, thank you very much. Great job as usual. Merry Christmas to you, and tell everybody at the party that I said hello, WFO, the whole thing. We'll talk to you next week prior to New Year's, and now we will just listen as you walk over to the Mustang, fire it up, and we'll listen to it rumble for a little bit.
All right, Joe. Merry Christmas to you as well.
Alan Reinhart going over to fire up the Mustang. We've been talking about this for a while now, and it is about to become a reality on WFO Radio. And this is why you got to listen to the show. You got to subscribe. You got to download the app. You hear the Stars of the Mellow Yellow series, Lucas Oil series champs, everybody, right through the holidays. Obviously, I'm stalling for time. Here he goes, Alan Reinhart. That was great. The sound is wicked. You must be really happy, Alan. Like, that is a coming through the phone. Come on, we're not getting like 10% of what it must be, but that thing sounded wicked.
Well, it made 660 horsepower on the dyno.
Yeah. The numbers
so
match the sound.
It better not sound like a Yugo.
So if Jason Lyon is out there listening to the show right now, does he have like important intel?
If Jason Lyon was listening to the show a minute ago right now, he's in a closet crying. So, he knows he's in trouble. I don't know what he's going to try to pull this off, but he knows he's in trouble. Mm-hmm. And not because his car isn't cool or not because his car isn't awesome or not. It's because his car weighs almost 5,000 pounds. And, you know, just like it's exponentially harder to go fast the faster you go, it's exponentially harder to make a really heavy car go fast. So, you know, If I make a 50 horsepower increase, I'm going to gain a lot. If he makes a 50 horsepower increase, he's not going to gain near as much. So he's in trouble and he knows it, but that's okay.
Alan, thank you so much for letting us hear the sound of the car. I'm sure that made the day for all the WFO listeners out there, and I greatly appreciate it.
No problem, Joe. Happy to be of service. And well, I got to go get back to it now. So I got some wiring to clean up to finish up, and it's getting closer and closer to being a legitimate street car again, so that's the goal.
Merry Christmas. Enjoy your Christmas party. Again, say hi to any WFO listeners that happen to show up, and we'll talk to you next week.
Joe, have a great holiday.
There he goes, the NHRA's Alan Reinhart. How about that? The Mustang lives, and you heard it right here on WFO Radio. At very least, you know we're going to try our best to tie up all the loose strings at the end of the year. And you've been hearing about the Mustang all year, for really a couple of years, and now you've heard it. I love the sound. I know it's over the phone and it's over the internet, but got me going. I'm excited. I can't wait to see it. Is Jason Lyon out there? That is the question that everybody wants to know. I guess we'll find out in the coming weeks as we continue to talk about this on WFO Radio. Now, we got drivers on the show. Terry McMillan is coming up. Leah Pritchett is coming up. Luke Bagacki is coming up. Don't move a muscle. You're going to want to hear what they have to say. Great stuff all going on right after the break. But first, I want to tell you, you know, it's the holiday time, right? This is the final show before Christmas and your last chance to get Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School Dragster Adventure as a gift for your loved one, great client, great friend, father, mother, sister, brother. They would all love a trip to Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, especially the Dragster Adventure. And if you give them a call, four easy payments. You can break it up into payments if you call them on the phone line. Have you driven a dragster? Have you been in front of a big block Chevrolet engine? Have you accelerated 0 to 60 miles per hour in 3 seconds? I really doubt it. And this is an experience that you will love, you will covet for all times. You'll certainly remember it much more than whatever it was you got last year for Christmas. 866-480-7223. Tell them you heard it on WFO. Yes, I heard it on WFO Radio. And they're like, yeah. Well, I would like to investigate the Dragster Adventure. Oh, okay. 866-480-7223 or go to frankhawley.com. The schedule for the beginning of 2015 is beginning to take shape. You can check it out. They also do super comp, super gas licenses, pro stock motorcycle classes, top alcohol, dragster, funny car, top dragster, all going on at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Maybe you want to get your license. Maybe you want to be real competitive. Maybe you want to learn from a champion. 866-480-7223. That's Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. We'll be back with Terry McMillan. I'm going to talk about new crew chief Rob Wendlin when we return right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Hey, race fans, this is Joe Costello here to tell you about Rodax Coffee and Grills.com. The summer is over. The holidays are coming. The winter is coming. Make sure you can wake up every day in the cold winter with a cup of Rodax Coffee by going to Rodax Coffee and Grills.com or give him a call. Marvin Rodak, a big WFO Radio listener, NHRA fan down there in Fort Worth, Texas, 817-924-6821. They have got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom special blends like WFO Radio Blend or Bang the Blower. It's what everybody's talking about. Get some for yourself. All specialty grade coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown in the world. They're all roasted fresh per order. And there are limited edition seasonal and rare micro lots of coffee available. They've got exotics like Sumatra Kopi Luwak, Panama Geisha, Australia, the Hawaii Kona coffee. They've got it all. Get on the phone, 817-924-6821 for Rodax Coffee and Grills.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now. Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
The stars of drag racing. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
He is the Amelie Motor Oil driver. He is Terry McMillan. I'm noticing something, Terry. You might not, you don't see it necessarily through the TV, but folks, these guys, you know, they're twitching and shaking and their eyes are flipping, and it's just, it's obvious that you just got out of a 300 mile per hour race car. The intensity of the run is on everyone's face in a big way, Terry. Tell me about just the experience of the run that we see so many, and if you follow the tour, it becomes a little commonplace, but it's obvious, having seen you guys getting out of the car at the top end, it's not common at all.
Hey, Joe, I look that goofy all the time, man. You know, it's like, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter if I'm going 300 mile an hour or 10 mile an hour, I look that goofy all the time.
It ain't just wide open, it's WFO. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
WFO Radio. Here we go, NHRA fans. It is the starkest winter. Christmas is coming. New Year's is right around the corner, and you're still getting your NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing fix on WFO Radio. Hopefully you've downloaded the application or subscribed, as we're going to try to continue right through the offseason. And just like that, it'll be January. The Pro Winter Warm-Up will be here. Next thing you know, the Circle K Winter Nationals. So we've got news out there, but big news. You may recall a couple of weeks ago we had Rob Wendland on the show to talk about. He was a free agent, available crew chief out there in the world. Well, not anymore, because he has recently signed with a friend of the show, Terry McMillan, who is on the air to join us now and tell us all about it. Terry, welcome back to WFO. How are you?
Hey, Joe, I am doing great. Thank you for having me on WFO, and certainly want to wish everybody a happy holiday season, as we're certainly embarking on that in the next few days. But right now we're all just running wide open here, getting ready for 2015 NHRA race season.
Running wide open. I love it. Now, you mentioned Christmas and the holidays. Are you ready? Are you ready? Do you even break for Christmas, and how long do you break for? Because I'm sure you are very busy.
Yeah, I will take Christmas Day off, and I will probably leave here early on Christmas Eve, but that's about it. I've been here, we've been working at the shop, you know, probably since 6 o'clock in the morning until about 11 o'clock every night, just trying to get a lot of things done and you know, just trying to put the game plan together. So it's been crazy busy, but, you know, it's really been good. I mean, it's exciting. It's kind of nice to just, you know, go through, clean the trailers out, and just kind of, like, you know, maybe reorganize things and just, you know, get rid of the stuff you don't carry, you don't need anymore. So it's, we're making it longer and harder than what it has to be, but we want to, you know, go ahead, take the right approach and do it right the first time tonight.
All right, let's take a step backward, because you have been on the show many times, and we always love catching up with what's going on with the team as you try to break through and elevate your performance. Unfortunately, this past year resulted in you having to make very, very difficult, had to be just a heart-wrenching decision to stand back and look at your team and basically what I would call take a step back to take a step forward. Tell me about that process.
You know, it's first off, it wasn't a pleasant thing to have to do. You know, my guys they're my family, and Richard and his family, I mean, we're all really, really close, And it was extremely difficult to do. In fact, the hardest thing I've ever done, with the exception of probably, my son when he passed away. And I think at the end of the day, that's been, probably the most difficult part of the this season this year. However, with marketing partners and things like that, we have to move on and we gotta go forward, and that's our next step. I mean, it's tough because, we're not funded any differently than what we were in the past. So it's still going to be a battle of just watching the dollars that you spend and making the best of it. But at the end of the day, I'm embracing the new opportunities and my marketing partners are extremely excited, and certainly that's what it's all about at the end of the day. So, that's the direction I'm going to go, and hopefully we have some good results.
And after that decision was made, and I can't even imagine going through that, but how did the process of interviewing new guys and finding your new crew chief begin? I know that there are a lot of talented people that are out there and available, and maybe the biggest part of finding success would be finding the right chemistry, the right mix, the right person for the job. So take me through that process and how it worked, because it was so important.
Well, I think at the end of the day, it was a couple things. We had a couple folks to choose from that we felt could elevate our program, and at the end of the day, it still came down to a decision of who's going to be hungry and certainly who can fit within our budget, and that's probably more important than anything. But at the end of the day, it just came down to a decision that Rob was he's the guy to go to. He's hungry. He's got the desire to go out there and succeed, and he's got good background. I mean, he's worked for Forces, and he's worked for Schumachers, and he had a very great career at both of those. So I think that just there's a lot of dynamics that he's going to bring to our team that's going to allow us the opportunity to elevate our program, and certainly hopefully, if anything, this year maybe finish in the top 10 and certainly go go more rounds. But it's going to be a battle. It's not going to be easy for him, and he's been, here day and night as well. And it's what it's all about, what it takes. But I think at the end of the day, the unity that we all gain from each other by working together, in the trenches right now, trying to get everything worked out and figured out, is going to make our team stronger and unite us in a way that should put us in a position to do good.
Rob, a race-winning crew chief, has had some great success, but also known for keeping them together most of the time, which is pretty important. The team's still based out of Elkhart, though. Was there, in fact, some discussion about moving the team?
We really did look at moving down to Indianapolis. Larry Dixon, I've been was working with him, he's done a tremendous job of trying to get me to move down there. But it was a situation that, I'm in a building right now that I share with the Emily store, and it's 20,000 square foot. And so at the end of the day, I mean, this is not costing me anything to be here. And because we're, going to have to go through a transition of getting a lot of, new parts or different configurations, if you will, I figured that the dollars that I could save by staying in Elkhart one more year would be a value and allow us to get jump started on the inventory. So to say that we'd be here next year at this time, maybe not. Probably won't be in Indianapolis. Certainly the job pool, certainly everything that evolves around drag racing is pretty much based in Indianapolis anymore, Brownsburg. And so we're trying to elevate our program. We're trying to be part of all that, but at the same point in time, we still have to be responsible with the dollar. So this year here, 2015, we will stay in Elkhart and look at moving that way in the end of 2015 and into 2016.
What are the challenges of putting together a team? And it sounds like you're doing it basically from scratch, bringing on a crew chief, What about crew members, mechanics? How is that going to go? And how far is Elkhart from Brownsburg, and just in terms of luring top-tier talent to your team?
Well, the distance is, it's 2.5 hours, 100 miles, 120 miles, I think, totally. But so it's not a horrible trip. We have housing up here and things like that, for our guys. I think the big thing right now as far as crew is that, as Rob's interviewed and put guys together, we have, some folks that have stayed with us, from this year's team. So we don't need a lot, but at the same point in time, we're looking for, some guys that's going to fit working with Rob. And that's the key ingredient at the end of the day, is that everybody being on the same page and realizing that there's, one leader and when he's asking for something, it needs to be that way. And because if, you give him the wrong information on what the head CC or something like that, his tune-up's not going to be any good. So it's very relevant, as we go forward, that we have the right people in place that's going to work with him. And he's hungry, and he's determined to be successful. And I think that that's going to bring a lot of good people. We have a lot of people that will probably be showing up here in January, the first week in January, as far as additional crew members. So I think we're pretty well set. Looking forward to the opportunities that they have with these new crew folks, and I really think it's going to be an exciting year.
How challenging has this been? I mean, I know the answer is 100% all the way, as challenging as anything can get. But we've kind of spoken over the course of the past couple of years. You've upgraded your parts. You've upgraded your cylinder head program. You upgraded your chassis. Seems like every year Terry McMillan is taking some sort of major step forward. And by step forward, I mean undertaking a major investment in something to get better, to get closer, to getting that first win, to consistently running well out there. This may be the step that puts you over the top.
We certainly hope so. In top fuel, NHRA top fuel tracks right now, you have to look at it, and the field has been closer than it's ever been in history. And when you're separating 1 through 16, by 6 thousandths of a second, that's pro stock type numbers. That's stuff that just never happened in top fuel. So it is it's more challenging than ever before to go out there and compete and just even make the show today. You look at next year's roster and all the cars that are going to be out there. There's going to be 17 really strong cars all year long. So, someone's not going to qualify, and it's going to be a bloodbath. And so it all starts here with the preparation. It all starts here with, the attitude being determined, failure is not an option. It starts with all that, and this is a big upgrade in my book as far as, changing everything the way we did. Hopefully at the end of the day we can sit back and say, man, it wasn't that bad. But right now, we're sweating bullets.
Really? So it's intense over there?
Well, it's just there's so much to do, so much going on, and just trying to get the folks hired and make sure everybody's housed and make sure all these other, things on top of trying to get the parts in to run the race car, on top of, inventory and going through exactly everything that you have and to know where you're at starting into the 2015 season is, it's taken, 18-hour days right now, but, we're drag racers. We're kind of used to that, and that's what we do. But I feel better if it was, January right now. We were getting ready to go testing, a little more relaxed than what we're doing. But, we're not in any panic mode. It's just, the desire to be perfect of what we do and to be the best that we can be at what we do is the focus right now. And that, gives me anxiety. I want to be right. I want to do it the best that we can.
What is your testing schedule for 2015? Are you going to try to hit West Palm Beach? And if not there, where are these guys going to get their first opportunity to work on the clock and under some pressure?
Certainly, West Palm is a place that we're looking at going. The other place that we're really kicking around is Phoenix. I've talked to quite a few other teams, and it sounds like a lot of guys are going out to Phoenix, which in a lot of ways makes sense because you got to go to Pomona anyway, so you're only 8 hours away, and then on top of that, in a couple of weeks you'll be back to Phoenix, and then you look at West Palm Beach, which is a, you know, fantastic place to go. I love it down there, and the weather is always, you know, perfect. The downside to that is it's a place to hit home runs because they are so good, and maybe we'll never see that here typically during the race season. You know, maybe occasionally we see it at Reading or something, but typically you just don't see that. And so with that being said, you know, it's still up in the air, but right now we're looking at both. But, you know, Phoenix is starting to become more and more of a reality in my mind that, you know, it just makes sense to run there and test there because we're going to be there in 2 weeks. After Pomona, we'll be there a week after.
That is a tough argument to go against. Of course, we would love to see you down here in my part of the country, southeastern Florida, and we love seeing the Nitro cars up close. But I got to say, when you spell it out that way, it is a very compelling argument.
Yeah, it'll be. Hopefully, we can run both of them and get our, you know, be our testing for the year. But right now, it's just, you know, it's still up in the air on the West Palm. I've been there every year, and I'd really, you know, hate to miss it. And so, again, it's not really in my book to, you know, not make it. It's certainly an option. But I think looking forward, too, we also have to be just looking at, you know, what could happen if we were in Phoenix and give us a shot at a track that we're going to be on again, and, you know, a few weeks later. So it's, you know, it's all going to fall out. We'll know. We'll have a really good idea right at the first year when we, you know, have the team, you know, totally everybody here and just see how things go together and how everybody, you know, bonds and from then on, it's on. You know, we're everybody that I know that's coming on is determined to be successful and certainly that's what you have to surround yourself with and hopefully we can show that.
Well, that is very cool. What about your personal life, Terry? How's the little one? And obviously, you got to make time between the career and racing, and of course, being the dad for a new member of the family.
You know, he is doing really well. He gets to come to the shop a lot, and he's got a little electric Batmobile and his remote control, so I get to drive him around in that as he's learning to drive and things. But you know, it's been a struggle as far as, you know, trying to balance everything and making sure that you come home a little bit to spend time with him and, you know, and then come back to the shop. But, you know, I wouldn't change it for the world, but I feel like I'm cheating him somewhat a little bit because of the amount of hours that we're putting in here right now. But, at the end of the day, it's going to be extremely, you know, positive and, you know, it's just a little setback right now for, you know, the next couple weeks. And then after that, it should get back to normal if there is what you call normal in drag racing.
Yeah, you think this is tough. Wait till you're putting together the first junior dragster program in about 6 years.
I'm not going to lie to you. I already have the junior dragster. It already runs. Actually, my granddaughter is driving it, and it's already, you know, looks like an alligator. So we're ready to go. I mean, I don't know what I'm doing with it yet, but I know that they're racing it, and they're doing good, and she's done great with it. So I'm fired up to the day that he has the opportunity to do that.
Well, that's good. That just shows a lot about you already, that you are prepared in advance.
Well, you know, I'm a drag racer. That's what I live for. I love this sport. You know, I'm a, you know, engineer by trade, and I certainly can go back and do that. But there's nothing out there that has been as fulfilling to me as what drag racing has been. And then to surround yourself with great marketing partners like Amway and, you know, Ross Pistons of Flat Out Gaskets and everybody that's, you know, been part of our program for so long is, you know, has just been overwhelming. And, you know, then, you know, just getting it all together. You know, we got new students coming to work with us from UNOH this year, you know, because one of my interns is now a full-time employee. We're bringing some more in. And, you know, it's just really cool to see youth coming into our sport. And more importantly, just see the overwhelming look on their face when they walk into the shop and they see all this stuff around. It's like a candy store, but they don't know what they can touch yet. So it's so rewarding in a lot of ways. But, you know, like I said, we got a lot to do, but we're ready for it. And, you know, and I think Rob's going to be a great leader. And with the determination that we have right now as a team, I hope that we're something to reckon with this. You know, we get our rounds and we get some round wins and we have the opportunity to win a race and even more important to make it top 10, you know. So it's going to be a challenge. Like I said, it's never been as tough as it is in NHRA as it is today.
Well, you got a good guy and a very, you said the word that I like and agree with, hungry guy who wants to prove something, Rob Wendland, as your crew chief. And Rob has been coming on the show for a while now. Great guy, and I think he is going to really make a statement with this position. And I'm looking forward to seeing you at the Amalie Motor Oil Gator Nationals, your sponsor's race, a race that I know is very important. The folks at Amalie stepping up big time for my, you know, home race, the only race in my home state of Florida, one that I love going to. And you guys could be hitting your stride right at that point. How important is the Gator Nationals, and is it already got a big, like, star and a circle on your calendar?
You know, it's like winning the championship. It's like being in the final round in Pomona, and the winner is going to win the championship. And we've kind of struggled there. We haven't qualified the last 2 years there, and so, you know, we want to go there, and we want to be great, and we want to, you know, one, first off, we got to qualify, and then second, you know, we want to go rounds there. So it's really important. It is the biggest race, I think, of my 2016 year already. Anything else would be just a bonus because, you know, we've just struggled there somewhat in the past, and I want to turn that around. I want to give, you know, the Amalie employees, the Amalie management owners, you know, the opportunity to be proud of, you know, what we're doing and all the hard work that we put forth to make it successful. So, I'm fired up about it. I can't wait to get there, and I'm glad it's the third race because of the year, and, that way we can, put it behind us and go forward from there. So, but fired up, man. There's nothing like Gainesville, man. It's fast. It's got all the right ingredients, for drag racing, and that's why I love that, and was certainly very happy, you know, when Amalie was able to put that program together with them and make it happen. So now we're going to be there for a while, and that's the exciting part, and we're going to have many more opportunities to do well there.
Terry, thank you so much. Final question: it is Christmas time. What is your favorite Christmas movie?
My favorite Christmas is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I just kind of watched that the other night again, and I love it. Just this, you know, showing that, you know, the reindeer was kind of rejected, and then all of a sudden came back, and now was, you know, guiding the sleigh that night, and it's just good and bad about that story, and at the end of the day, you know, it paid off and it worked out. So I kind of see our team that way some days.
There you go. Well, guide the sleigh, Terry. Guide the sleigh. Thank you so much for coming on WFO Radio. I know you got a ton of fans out there that really want to see you guys elevate in 2015. I think you're making a step in the right direction. I can't wait to see it, and hopefully I am there when it happens. Terry, thanks for coming on WFO.
Joe, as always, man, WFO, man, you guys rock. It's certainly, you know, the best place to be. But, hey, all our fans, all the folks that listen to WFO, man, happy holidays from all of us, and we look forward to seeing you in 2015. I guarantee we're going to be better and improved.
There you go. Terry, go enjoy yourself a little, I guess, hard work in the shop is what you've got in front of you, and, of course, take a little time for Christmas. But best of luck during the holiday season. May Santa bring you everything you want. Happy New Year as well, and we will see you in just a couple of weeks, actually.
It's about 45 days. It's around the corner.
Right, so, around the corner.
Yes, absolutely. So, again, thanks, Joe. You and your family have a super, super holiday, and we'll talk to everyone soon.
Terry McMillan with us here on WFO Radio. Some really cool things said right there at the end. Terry's been coming on our show for a long time. You can go back into the archive and listen. If you're a Terry McMillan fan who is listening to the show for the very first time, welcome to you. Every week we do this. Where have you been? Go back into the archive, find Terry McMillan. You can find out basically the last several years of interviews on WFO Radio, not just with Terry, but many, many drivers. I like to look at the interview clip, the short clips archive, every once in a while and just marvel at the people who come on this show. It's tremendous. Why do they do that? That is a question I ask myself all the time. And yet they do. Each week, we've got blockbuster superstar drivers. Like our next guest, Leah Pritchett, coming on the show, the Gum Out Top Fuel Dragster for the Doat Family Racing Team. right here at Christmas time. Leah Pritchett going to come on the program, talk a little bit about her program for 2015, the PRI show, her new crew chief, Rob Flynn, co-crew chief with Doug Cook, all the stuff going on behind the scenes. Just like Terry did, we'll speak with Leah and get ready for what is going to be preseason testing, the Pro Winter Warm-Up at PBIR. I will be announcing, which I'm very excited about, some other cool stuff going on around that event coming up in January. Hope Terry comes down. That would be great. You know, the conditions are kind of like Gainesville, Terry. The Amalie race. Just saying. That would be cool to get him down here. But regardless, it is a very cool thing if you're in Georgia, if you're in Alabama. It's not too long to get down to PBIR for the Pro Winter Warm-Up. Can be very, very fun. And we've got Luke Bagacki coming on the show. Luke, back-to-back champion, one in Super Comp, one in Super Gas, bracket racer extraordinaire. This is bracketracing.com. We're going to have Luke on the show. So stick around. We got a lot coming at you. But first, you know, it's Christmas time. How many of you out there really are surrounding the Christmas tree right now, opening your gifts? Christmas morning. All right, it's Christmas afternoon. All right, it's the day after Christmas. What are you doing? That's the great thing about WFO Radio. You're listening at all different times. Some people are listening, it's mid-January. It's like, I missed this one. But the bottom line is, we try to bring drag racing to you and make sure you get the most out of it. But if it hasn't turned the new year yet, you still have time to get the Rodax CoffeeAndGrills.com WFO Holiday Pack. That's right. The WFO Radio blend of coffee, Rodax Special Proprietary WFO Radio Coffee Blend, that so many people have been giving as their great Christmas gifts to their friends and loved ones, or also gifts to themselves and enjoying it. You get the habanero hot sauce and the A26 spice rub, the three specialty items that I like the best at RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, all in one pack. $28 value for $22. Give Marvin a call, 817-924-6821. If it's before the turn of the new year, he'll give you the holiday pack. And it is something you definitely want to get. You'll enjoy it all through January, and you'll be like, wow, this is great. All the Mellow Yellow Series champions were awarded a WFO Holiday Pack as part of their championship. And the big check and the Mellow Yellow Trophy, those are all big. I would imagine it's important, but I really think at the end of the day, the WFO Holiday Pack is something you can enjoy just every day, at least for a while. Give Marvin a call. Marvin Rodak, 817-924-6821, or go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. You can check it out right on the front page of the WFO Radio website. And check out what they've got. They've got smoking wood, and they've got 40 micro lots of coffee, or 40 different brands of coffee, and they have micro lots. Kopi Luwak, and the New Guinea, and the Panama Santa Clara Estate. What? There's a lot to this coffee deal. You can check it out. Call Marvin. Find out more. 817-924-6821. 2-1. That's Rodax, CoffeeAndGrills.com. Leah Pritchett coming up next right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School makes the perfect Christmas gift. Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine, published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
WFO radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO store to order yours today.
The stars of drag racing. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Robert Height and John Force joining us now. Guys, welcome to WFO. How are you?
Hey, Joe, I want to say this, and this ain't sucking up. I enjoy your show. I enjoy the work that you do. And I know some of the things that we do sometimes, you try to cover for us and protect us. But we enjoy your show. Do it the way you do it. And we'll be celebrating you down the road.
NHRA Nitro is available on demand at WFORadio.com. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why.
Why?
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Welcome back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro, NHRA fans. And it's right before Christmas, and all through the house, you can't get drag racing except on WFO Radio. And I know you're saying it didn't rhyme, and it didn't. But it's also true in many, many ways. So you got to deal with it on yourself. And we've had a great show so far. We've got Luke Bagacki, the Super Gas World Champion, yet to come. A lot of great stuff, but right now we're going to check in with, I like to call her a friend of the show after a tremendous season and a big announcement regarding Gum Out. Leah Pritchett returns. Leah, welcome back to WFO. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much, Joe, for having me back on the show. I feel like I'm back home when I come to talk to you. So thank you very much.
Well, that is a nice sentiment. Thank you so much for saying that. And we are just going right through the off season as best as we can, interviewing drag racers, and you had what, there's so much to unpack in your season. What I look at, I know you've won championships and had great performances, but the fact that you fought and clawed and got this sponsor Gum Out, performed well by them in 2014 and got them to increase their program for 2015, that to me is as big a deal as winning a championship in many ways.
I would agree with you there. I mean, of course, someday the goal is to win a championship, but I think on the other end of the spectrum, we all strive for the funding, and to bring a new sponsor into the sport or one that hadn't been here for a while is great. And like they say, winning a championship is very difficult, but they say winning a second championship is even more difficult than the first. And I think it's somewhat like that with sponsors. It's very difficult to get a new one, and it's even more difficult to keep them because you have to keep them happy, show return, and show them that you can do more in the following year. So yes, we get to bring Gum Out back on, like we announced in Vegas for 2015, and it is definitely increased. So what they have done is they've been able to find more marketing budget because we were able to show the return and work with their retailers, and they actually saw the program as a positive. We moved their needle for them, which I know is, you know, pretty difficult to do in the motorsports world. So we in turn, we've taken that budget, that increased budget, and we are adding a couple races next year. We'll be at 18 to 20 races, which is, you know, very much more than last year and very much more than it was when I started Top Fuel with Dote Racing in 2013. And additionally to that, of course, we brought on Rob Flynn, who was with us in 2015, to co-crew chief with Doug Cook, and we have a new chassis. So, you know, three big main items, you know, more races, double crew chief, new chassis. Those are all improvements of what we consider important to both of us, to Gummel and our team, is that we are, you know, we're not here just to race. We're here to win, and performance is key, and going to more races is key. So that's where we stand, and I couldn't be more excited about it, to have a partner that believes in us and is working with us like Gummel does.
Well, it looks like those couple cases I bought at my local auto parts store worked.
I'd like to think so, and a little bit of that partnership has been brought on by their sister company, Black Magic, which is automotive cleaning products and detailing products. So you better be sure to see that our car is going to be looking shiny.
Well, you have one of the nicest cars out there, and I think it's great that you're also out and part of it, like setting things up, like really getting your hands dirty in the world of drag racing. But the fact that you're able to bring Gummel back to the sport of drag racing and show return is great. And I judge success by whether or not my non-racing fan friends ask me questions about certain people and certain programs. And I can honestly tell you, we do a poker show right out of my studio here, and these guys ask me, they're like, hey, tell me about Leah Pritchett. And I'm like, oh, wow, how do you know Leah Pritchett? And they're like, we just saw her, we just heard about her. And when that happens, that says something to me. So you're clearly doing something right if you're getting beyond the world of drag racing.
Well, I really appreciate that. I consider that a huge success as well, because we all like to make a statement within our sport, and we know that in order for, you know, the NHRA to thrive and grow, it needs to grow outside of our own comfort zone, for lack of a better term. And that's something that Gummel has really pushed, is, like I said, from the retail side. There's people that have probably seen our car and myself that have never watched drag racing, because they're seeing it in Advance Auto Parts and at Walmart when you walk in and you take the little, you know, sanitary napkin to wipe down your car. For a full 2 months, our car was like on the poster of where you take your little cleaning wipe. I mean, they're going outside of the box and you know, co-branding our team with them, and I think that's what it takes. And to that point, it's nice when we're able to attract other sponsors that are, you know, not automotive-based, because, you know, we're trying to recruit new fans for the sport. And so if they don't know about the sport, but they find out about it through a company that they, you know, that they see and they live through throughout the day, and they're involved in drag racing, it just brings new fans. And I think it's a win-win for everybody.
A lot of news here. You mentioned Rob Flynn. Doug Cook, it had some really good runs and will remain with the team as co-crew chief. That's something we want to make sure, because his performance was great, like great success with the team, putting up some big runs. But you guys are bringing on Rob Flynn as co-crew chief. Rob, who had tuned Jack Beckman in the past, who had tuned Bob Vandegrift in the past, a lot of great experience with the most advanced programs, bringing that experience to your team.
Absolutely. Now, Doug has done a tremendous job of operating our team out of Monroe, Ohio, and just remembering the fact that we have a very, you know, slim crew, you know, not 8 full-time crew members like the other teams, and being able to make the most of what we're given, because we still are an underfunded team at the moment and have been, and Doug has done the best with what he's been given, and, you know, we came to understand, the Dotes came to understand that looking around the pits, everyone has 2 and some people even 3 crew chiefs to make that happen, and, you know, to run those fast numbers. And that's when we brought on Rob at the Indy race. And, you know, it's taken a couple races for him to get acquainted, you know, with our setup and our tune-up. And something that I was really impressed with is how Doug and Rob work together. And they have a little bit different tuning styles, but they complement each other. And I couldn't have dreamt up a better fit, you know, being with them day in and day out at the track, in the lounge, you know, watching them, hearing them on the radio. Everything is like a nice fluid motion, and I think we saw the results of that with, you know, our performance at Vegas when we finally got a hold of what we needed to get a hold of We ran that 75. We went to the semifinals, and I think it just shows great light for our capabilities for 2015.
When you look back at 2014, would that be the high water mark, busting down into the 70s? Very deep, by the way, and then having some great success in the actual race?
Absolutely. I would say for sure that was the highlight, the high water mark. I mean, we had our ups and downs throughout the year, and to end the season on a note like that, and, you know, that I couldn't have asked for anything more, and yes, that was high. I mean, everything from announcing our gum out extension to, you know, having our career best, or not career, well, our career best CT and our best performance of the season. Absolutely. That was, you know, it gives the guys, it gives myself, it gives, you know, Rob and Doug feeling good about something over the off season. I think all racers kind of look forward to what that last race is going to be. You got to live on that for a couple months. And, I think we're really growing on that.
Leah Pritchett with us here on WFO Radio. Leah, you mentioned there's a new chassis for 2015 as well. Tell me about getting fitted and everything that goes into switching over from one chassis to the other, and I would imagine you're keeping the previous one as a backup?
Absolutely. So we have ran McKinney chassis until this next season, and they have worked great, and they're very comfortable, but we feel with our setup and the way that we have our tune-up that a chassis that, you know, a lot of other people have shown to possibly perform just slightly better. So we have switched over to Brad Hadman, and he built just the bare bones of our chassis right before Vegas, delivered it to Vegas. We brought that thing home, and just this last week before PRI, that chassis was at one of the local shops here in Indiana, or actually in Brownsburg, and got fitted for it and finished it in 5 to 6 days, and Rob was there every day. I was there every day, and that thing pretty much got as finished as it could be. Then we loaded it back up, went to Ohio, and, of course, all the plumbing and brakes and management system and all that is getting built on it right now by Doug, who's at the shop every day in Ohio. So it's very exciting. I think this is going to be one of the most comfortable cars that I've ever been in, from the seat port to exactly where everything's at inside. I get to mess with the throttle placement quite a bit, which was, you know, that's important for a driver, and I made adjustments, you know, when we go to West Palm of, you know, how I want to change it. But this thing is going to be, this chassis I'm excited about. It's extremely, you know, it's custom towards me and my cockpit, and most of all, I think it's going to perform and react the way consistently that Doug and Rob can tune to.
So you're going to go to the Pro Winter Warm-Up this year?
That is absolutely right. We will be there. We'll be there earlier in the week. I believe we'll be running on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then we will be running, I believe, Friday and Saturday. That's currently on our schedule right now for the Pro Winter Warm-Up. So we will be down there, and we plan to put on a good show and get this new car, you know, ready for Pomona, which Pomona is going to be our first race, and we'll follow that with Phoenix and Gainesville. And, you know, our schedule isn't completely set at this moment, but like I said, about 18 to 20 is what we have planned, and a lot of them are really subject to gum out, you know, regions and their targets that they want for their markets, as well as a new sponsor that we have coming on that we just can't quite reveal yet, but that is also regionally based. So that's why our schedule isn't completely set at this moment.
You said you had 18 to 20 races looked like with gum out, which means that's only 4 to 6 races to fill the full schedule. You ran so well last year. You're looking for sponsorship. Are you sure you don't want to reveal, like, the big sponsor that on here on WFO Radio?
Oh, actually, I'm sure I am. As soon as I can, as soon as I get the green light that we can announce who our new, it's a major associate sponsor for next year. As soon as I get that, Joe, I would like to announce it on WFO Radio. That would be nice. And it's a, you know, a lot of people, I think, have seen this product and brand before, but not at the racetrack. It's very non-endemic. It's non-automotive. And I feel it's a good direction for, you know, increasing just the NHRA fan base overall and kind of, you know, broadening our spectrum, you know, from a sponsor standpoint within our category, within our sphere. And that's something that gets me excited. Not as much as winning races, but it's nice. It feels good to bring in new companies.
That is great. I find that to be the key. Last week we had Clay Milliken on the show, and he talked about great clips coming in. And I thought, wow, Not oil-based, not auto parts-based. Not that that's bad. It's just normal, as you said. But anytime you can reach outside the world of drag racing and bring in a new sponsor to take advantage of the passion and loyalty of NHRA fans, I think it is a great thing. All right, so we're going to hold you to that. When the new sponsor announcement is ready, we're going to have you back
right.
on WFO.
That'll be perfect. And one thing I want to mention, too, is I've gotten a lot of Facebook messages and emails throughout the year of if we were going to have die-cast cars made. So for all of your listeners, all of our listeners, I want to let them know that the Gumau top-field dragster as well as the Dote Racing paint scheme top-field dragster 1/24 scale are now available to have. So they can find them at groundpoundin.com, groundpoundin.com, and that's where our Gumau and Dote Racing diecast can be found.
Wow, all right, I'm already going there, and here it is. Look at this, Top Fuel Motorsports diecast collectibles. I tell the audience all the time, they got to go right immediately to the website while the guest is on the air, regardless of when they are listening, to find it. That is so cool, Leah. Not all racers invest in having diecasts done, and why did you make that decision?
Well, Jim is the owner of that site, and he had actually come to us and asked us about it. And of course, as lots of our fans know, you know, we don't have the extra funds for things like that, but we do know that, you know, the hardcore fans and people really do like to collect these cars, and we want to give them the opportunity to have that. Now, given there are not hundreds of them out there, and if I'm not mistaken, I think there's only 24 of the Gumau ones at this very moment, and might be a little bit less than that of the Dote Racing ones. So we just needed to make, you know, some available to the ones that really wanted it, and hopefully this next coming season we'll find some more budget for some more diecasts and obviously some more apparel. But I feel that diecasts are, you know, a big staple of our sport, and, you know, they're important to our fans. I personally have diecasts of a lot of racers and cars here in our house, and it's just, I just feel like that's something that, you know, we could give a little bit back to by at least getting them made, and hopefully we'll be able to get some more made in the future.
I like your style, and when I hear you talk about that kind of expense, I think of what we're doing here on WFO Radio, and it is the same. You know, it's an upfront investment that you have to, you know, put out to get a diecast or a T-shirt or anything, and then you hope that the fans, or in our case, listeners, will respond. And, you know, they have and they do, but it is still a little bit of a leap of faith. I think it's great that you're doing that. And how about that, folks? Urgency to purchase. There's only 25. You better act now.
I like that, Joe. I mean, I hear that phrase on, you know, the TV at late night, like, act now. There's only so-and-so left. But really, it's just at this very moment we do have that limited supply. And a lot of people, when it comes to merchandise and diecast, I think unless you're the big, big guys like DSR and JFR, and honestly, nobody is in it, if you know it, to make money. Nobody makes money off of merchandise, per se, unless you're the big dogs. What we want to be able to do it for is to give fans the opportunity to, you know, to have something that they support and they like. And of course, we eat it on the back end, but that's okay because we like our fans and we love our fans. And I don't like being able to tell them, no, we don't have anything yet. We don't have anything yet. Anything that we can do to let them, you know, feel happy about the drivers that they support makes me happy. So every little bit that we can do is good. And I'm actually working on our apparel at the moment, this early this week, of what we can do for next year. So it's being worked on, that's for sure.
Very, very good and very exciting. That is groundpoundin.com for the Leah Pritchett Gumau Dragster and the Dote Family Racing Top Fuel Dragster as well. Now, you mentioned PRI, Leah. How was it? I was not there, but I am reliving it through everyone who comes on the show. Give me your PRI experience.
PRI for me was excellent. I went every day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I signed and was there at the DMPE booth for a couple hours there on Friday. And something that intrigued me was every, you know, person that I talked to at a company, you know, asking how their sales were doing or just what their feel of the show was overall, every single person, I'm talking 100%, said that it was an increase of the year before and it went above their expectations of what they thought it would be for 2014. And it was nothing but extremely positive. So for me, I'm like, that's awesome. That, you know, it shows that, you know, the industry is on a growing upward, you know, spurt, and it just, it was uplifting. It was nice to hear. And so for anybody listening that was wondering how it was going, for us personally, for our team, we, you know, we did a lot of business with Levi and ARP and Champion, and we, you know, we were able to have good conversations with our current sponsors and possible new ones. And, you know, that doesn't happen without the market going up. And I did see that, you know, definitely the industry and the market was going up, and you could just feel it there. Every single day was completely packed, and that's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. I love it, and I love to hear that. It's good. We're, you know, you're investing so much of your life in this sport, and it's great to hear that things are trending in the right direction. Very cool. Leah, thank you so much for coming on WFO Radio. Great catching up with you. Won't be long. I guess I'll see you in West Palm, because I'm going to be there. I'm actually doing some things. I'll be announcing, it looks like, as of this moment. So I'm very excited to bring Nitro Drag Racing to my community here in South Florida. The closest race that would normally be would be Gainesville. So anytime my friends and family members and anyone that is reasonably close to South Florida, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, can get up to West Palm Beach and see you guys, I think it helps them understand what I'm doing, and obviously it's just a thrilling sport in and of itself. So I am looking forward to that. That's coming up January 16th and 17th, Friday and Saturday, plus the week of testing leading up. That is going to be so cool, and I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much for coming on WFO, and let me know when that next thing happens. We'll have you back.
Absolutely. I look forward to it, and thank you again for having me on, and I look forward to seeing you in the sunny state of Florida real soon.
Absolutely. What's the temperature where you are right now?
I believe it's about 33, which is warm. I'm in Indianapolis.
Oh, so. Wow. Well, I won't tell you that it's 75 and beautiful and sunny.
Oh,
right?
No.
I won't tell you that.
I hope January 13th comes sooner than ever.
It will. But enjoy your Christmas and Happy New Year, most importantly. Don't skip right over the holidays. You had a great year in 2014 and even better in 2015. Good luck.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Leah. Leah Pritchett with us here on WFO Radio, that Gum Out team, having a great year in 2014, maybe even better in 2015. And I know a lot of fans are, and this is no offense to anyone that's been there a long time, but people just like seeing the new blood. You're a new fan. You want to maybe go with a driver who's relatively new to the sport, at least in Top Fuel. And Leah Pritchett has really got a lot of people behind her, and hopefully she can get out there for the full season. Maybe make the countdown. Wouldn't that be cool? And as I mentioned, we do a show, the Poker Action Line Show. You can find it on iTunes here in our WFO studios. They come in one day after talking World Poker Tour and World Series of Poker, and they're like, hey, Joe, who is this Leah Pritchett? They are finding out about her. She is expanding beyond the world of drag racing, and I think that is exactly what you're looking for. That's what you want. Very aggressive in the world of sponsorship, and maybe I'll have to get one of those diecasts. Who knows? But thanks to Leah for coming on WFO Radio. Great stuff. Merry Christmas to you and your family and everyone out there. If you're listening to the show, thank you for logging on during this wonderful holiday week. Next week on the show, we'll be doing some season in review. We'll definitely have a show. What it will be, will it be our best interviews of 2014? You know, I don't know at this point. The Ignition Show has been going great. Hopefully you've been logged on and listening as we try to gobble up a couple of your hours of entertainment. Things that you're at work, you're looking to be entertained for a little while, and we fill that void. Is it entertaining? Sometimes yes. Most of the time, hopefully. But bottom line, we are here for you. Follow us on social media, subscribe to the shows, and tweet, retweet, repeat. We always say it. That is the best way to get the word out about the program to your friends. And, you know, twist some arms like Rich and Saugus and all our Twitter followers. They're out there tweeting, retweeting, and repeating. Great job, guys. Thank you very much. Now, we got one more interview to go, and he is a world champion in the Lucas Oil Series. We've been promising catching up with all the Lucas Oil Series world champions, and so far, so good. We have had a ton of them. Luke Bagacki, the Super Gas world champion, who also won in Super Comp last year, will be joining us. And we're going to talk with Luke about his website, thisisbracketracing.com, about the championship season. He set a record for most points in Super Gas, won 5 races, runner-up at another, went to the 4th round at the 2 others. That's pretty impressive. We're going to speak with Luke about it, and it is amazing to me that we have so many listeners out there in the Lucas Oil Series Sportsman Ranks that they're traveling from track to track. And I want to let all of you know that the only reason that I do not have more Lucas Oil Series personalities and drivers on is strictly based on lack of contact information and scheduled time. And in 2015, we're going to try to ramp up even further from what we did in 2014. From 2013 to 2014, I think we took a huge step forward. And from 2014 to 2015, it's going to be even better. So if you are a Lucas Oil Series racer, competition eliminator, Super Gas, Super Street, whatever you race, if you are a standout personality, you've got a great story to tell, we're going to try to have you on in 2015. That at least is the plan as we move forward. All right, when we come back, Luke Bagacki going to join us, but I want to remind you about Redline Oil. Go to redlineoil.com or go to amazon.com to find out more. They've got many great products for whatever your application is. For instance, do you have a top fuel dragster, and are you looking to get an oil that not only performs on the racetrack but can help keep you safe by keeping down the potential for fire? Well, Redline Synthetic Oil is that oil. They've been sending us to the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals for several years, and we certainly love them. Hit them up on their Facebook page. They've got 184,000 plus. They need to break 185. Maybe we can make that happen on WFO Radio. Products like Water Wetter work in your regular streetcar. Go to redlineoil.com or hit them up on Amazon, and you can order and have it shipped right to your house. It is the best oil out there in the marketplace. That is redlineoil.com. We'll be back with Luke Bagacki right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey race fans, this is Joe Costello here to tell you about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. The summer is over. The holidays are coming. The winter is coming. Make sure you can wake up every day in the cold winter with a cup of Rodax coffee by going to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give him a call. Marvin Rodak, a big WFO radio listener, NHRA fan down there in Fort Worth, Texas, 817-924-6821. They have got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom special blends like WFO Radio Blend or Bang the Blower. It's what everybody's talking about. Get some for yourself. All specialty grade coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown in the world. They're all roasted fresh per order. And there are limited edition seasonal and rare micro lots of coffee available. They've got exotics like Sumatra Kopi Luwak, Panama Geisha, Australia, the Hawaii Kona coffee. They've got it all. Get on the phone, 817-924-6821 for Rodax Coffee and Grills.com.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School makes the perfect Christmas gift. Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Am I the meanest?
WFO.
Am I the prettiest?
WFO.
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
WFO.
Who am I?
TheCompetitionPlus.com Radio Show of the Year.
WFO.
A milestone for online racing entertainment. Bigger and better than ever.
Life is good right now, Joe. I think it's good for NHRA. It's good for Gary Selvey. It sure looks like it's good for Joe Costello.
The world has spoken. WFO Radio is the CompetitionPlus.com radio show of the year.
Now, when I say, who's the master, you say,
WFO. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Lot of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind. Run, run, Rudolph, Randolph ain't too far behind. Run, run, Rudolph, Santa's gotta make it to town.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio. The holidays are coming. We're getting close, folks. It is Christmas week, and WFO has still got champions for you. That's right. We promised we were going to try to cut through all the Lucas Oil Series, Mellow Yellow Series, world champions from 2014, because 2015 is right around the corner. If you are a new listener, a first-time listener, this is where you come to hear the champions. And joining us now, he is the Lucas Oil Series Super Gas World Champion following a Super Comp Championship in 2013. Joining us now, Luke Bagacki. Luke, welcome to WFO Radio. How are you?
Oh, doing great, Joe. Thank you for having me. Enjoy listening to the WFO podcast. An honor to be a part of it.
That is excellent to hear. I always, we do the show for the fans, and sometimes it slips my mind that we might have racers out there listening, and to hear someone such as yourself, now a back-to-back world champion in index racing, is out there listening to what we do, that is a great compliment. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, no, I can't get enough of this stuff. You guys do a great job, and like I say, I enjoy taking in everything drag racing related, but definitely a long-time podcast listener.
So you know, that is great. Hear that, folks? Luke Bagacki, world champion, listens to the show. Then again, if you're hearing me say this, you listen as well. So, Luke, you know then that I'm always trying to get people involved in the kind of racing that you participate in. Luke, to win back-to-back world championships, one in Super Comp, and then to switch to the left-hand steer cars and win again, what does that all mean to you?
It's surreal, to be honest, Joe, I grew up around our sport, and growing up, I just remember dreaming of being able to accomplish things like that and actually do it, like you say, in two different classes, two back-to-back years. I'm still pinching myself. It doesn't seem real. It's been quite the journey.
And as much as the rules are the same, practically, in terms of how you race, driving a dragster and driving a super gas car are a little different from what I understand, just the way the cars react, the way they act, suspension. Explain the differences as best as you can.
Yeah, no doubt. Like you say, the two class formats are really similar, so I'm fortunate in that regard that our a lot of the things we learn in Super Comp translate to Super Gas and vice versa. And for the most part, the basic strategy on our end is the same. And to every car wants something different, but a lot of the things that we learn do translate. Just from a driver standpoint, like you had referred to, the super gas car is typically a little bit more difficult to get a competitive reaction time with, so we got to do some things a little bit differently there. And just as far as driving the finish line, I would say my outlook is the same, but you're a little bit more cautious of driving real aggressively in a 112-inch wheelbase super gas car than you would be in a 240-inch dragster. So definitely a little bit different driving style, no doubt.
And that's something to consider, our fans who listen for the thrill of the 300-mile-per-hour nitro cars. That's something that's always a specter out there. You don't want to end up on your roof or hit the wall. It happens from time to time. But you guys, as sportsman racers, you're traveling very, very fast. Fast enough, certainly, to have a big problem. And you have to consider that at all times, especially if you're going to get aggressive on the top end.
Oh, no doubt. You have to have respect for the vehicle that you're driving. I mean, you can get hurt going 25 mile an hour down the road, and we're going 170 plus. So you definitely have to, regardless of the safety equipment that we've got in hand, you've got to have respect for what you're doing out there.
Very impressive season. Of the eight events, you were able to post five wins and one runner-up. So it sounds like you were locked in this year.
Yeah, I don't have a great explanation for it. I mean, I feel like I did a good job. We had a great race car all season, and surrounded by great people. All the stuff that everybody would say, but I'm just telling you, in our sport, so much can be decided. There's so much can hang in the balance by races decided by a thousandth of a second. And this year, every one of those thousandths seemingly went our way. Whether it was a perfect light not turning a thousandth red, a double breakout going a thousandth of a second my way, it just seemed like I was in the right place at the right time all season. And the result is just, you know, this dream season on the divisional and national level.
It's amazing how that works. We hear professional athletes, basketball players who make the game-winning shot or heat up, talk about getting in the zone, and they would love to be able to stay there, but it doesn't happen that way. You try your best, and sometimes it happens. It seems like you were locked in that zone all year long. It seems like that would be so difficult to do, given that you're traveling to different places and different tracks, to find that place where it all works over and over again. Your competition round record was 46-3 this year.
Yes, that's ridiculous just when you say it out loud. I remember listening to your interview with Peter Biondo on here a few weeks ago, and he had alluded to the same thing. There were rounds that he could pick out that he just felt like he was in a zone, and he wishes that he could figure out how to duplicate that and do it every single round, and I'm no different. There are rounds that I look back and think, wow, you know, that I really did a good job there. And there were several rounds throughout the season where I was really average and got away, or even made mistakes and got away with them. So it's timing more so than anything.
Luke Bagacki with us, the 2014 Lucas Oil Super Gas World Champion, following up his 2013 Lucas Oil Super Comp World Championship. Joining a very limited super VIP club, there are just 15 drivers who have earned NHRA championships in multiple categories. Names like Blaine Johnson, Dan Fletcher, Peter Biondo, David Rampe, Edmund Richardson, I might as well read them all, Scotty Richardson, Jeff Taylor, Mike Say, Jason Lyne, Jack Beckman, Sean Langdon, Jeg Coughlin, Kenny Bernstein, and Gary Selzy, the list provided by DragRaceCentral.com. Now Luke Bagacki joining that list.
Yeah, that's incredible. That last name is one that in my mind will never belong on a list with the rest of those. Those are all guys that I grew up reading about and trying to emulate those heroes. So that's awesome. It's a humbling thing that I'm going to have a hard time getting used to, but it's pretty incredible to be a part of that list.
Hopefully I said Jason Lyne as well. One thing I find interesting, obviously there's a lot of aspects to this, Luke, but you are very willing to give up the secrets, as they say. You've got a website, thisisbracketracing.com, where you invite people who are interested to go to the website, which I would encourage all of our listeners to do right now if you are in front of a computer. And you share strategies. You share secrets. You share tactics. And these things, I'm sure, have been learned over a long career, maybe a lot of tough lessons. These things don't come easily, and yet you are willing to put it out there to try to grow the sport. Why are you so willing to put your secrets out there?
Well, Joe, you got to understand where I came from. I grew up at the racetrack watching my dad race, and I say all the time I was really fortunate to grow up where I grew up when I grew up. Now I live in Southern Illinois, but from the time I was 8 years old till I graduated college, we lived in North Texas, and my home track was a little 8-mile drag strip called Texas Raceway. And as I was growing up, on any given Saturday night, the crowd at Texas Raceway would include guys like Scotty Richardson, Edmund Richardson, Jeremy Hessler, Jeff Hessler, Tommy Phillips, Jeff Lopez, and his brother Robbie, on down the line. And just being able to watch those guys do what they do so well, and then as I got a little bit older to kind of befriend them and be able to pick their brain, that put me so far ahead of the curve when I actually took the wheel myself. And now that I'm in a position that people, you know, actually want to hear what I've got to say on the subject, being able to give some of that back is just awesome. And this is bracketracing.com has been our way of doing that. We've been live since early in 2009. And over that time, we've helped thousands of racers kind of reach their potential. So it's been really rewarding on my end. It's been a lot of fun.
What do you think is the most difficult step to getting someone to perform or comprehend how to perform in a bracket race?
Well, it's just, I don't know if one step is any more difficult than the next. To me, it's a process, and the first stage is understanding, which is what we help with on thisisbracketracing.com. You can practice all that you want, but if you don't have a clear understanding of what you're trying to accomplish, then all the runs in the world won't do you a whole lot of good. Once you've got that understanding, then obviously seat time comes into play. But one has to follow the other. And in terms of the on-track execution, I think by far the most difficult thing to excel at consistently is driving the finish line, because it's so difficult to teach and it's so difficult to learn without physically going out there and making mistakes and kind of replaying the run in your mind and trying not to make the same mistakes twice. There's, look at me, I mean, I've been doing it for 20 years and still screw up pretty regularly, so I think that's everybody, but you try to learn from it, try to get better and kind of perfect and hone your craft.
Well, compared to the other sports, games, precision activities, whatever it is, shooting, football, whatever it is, the practice time is so limited and so difficult to get. Like, how do you practice cutting a driver in 5 thousandths at the finish line when you're going 180 and he's going 160 or vice versa? If you're not in the situation, it just seems so difficult to even get to the moment where you get to practice and learn.
No doubt. That's the most difficult thing about it. It's not like shooting a basketball where you can go out to a gym by yourself and practice at midnight. The only way to get better and to improve is to actually physically be on the racetrack, which is not only time-consuming and costly, but you're dependent on a lot of other people. You know, you got to have opponents, you got to have a racetrack. So the biggest key is, like I say, just having a complete knowledge going in, you know, as best you can, and being able to learn as much as you can from those few brief moments on the racetrack.
Luke Bagacki with us, the 2014 Super Gas World Champion. Luke, let's go way back. I usually do this right at the beginning, but I got real excited to talk to you, the fact that you listen to the show. How did you get started? You mentioned the early days and that you were able to pick the brain of some of the legends out there prior to jumping in a race car. Tell me about those early days. How did you get started in all this?
Yeah, my father raced since long before I was born. He ran the old super modified category, some stock eliminator. He even owned a top funny car for a real brief period of time. And by the time I came along, he was bracket racing. And I just remember going to the track with him, I would say, from the time that I was 4 years old till I actually started racing myself at 11 or 12. During that time period, if he went to the racetrack without me, I always laugh and joke about it. But if he went without me, I would have probably been pretty upset. He instilled a passion and a love for the sport in me at a young age. It's never really wavered. And I think 1993, I was 11 years old, about to turn 12, when our track adopted the junior dragster program. I think it was actually introduced in late 92. And we got to work immediately. Dad and a friend of ours named George Watson at home built me a car, and I actually won the first junior dragster race ever contested at Texas Raceway. First race I'd been in. I think there was 8 of us. It was obviously the first time for any of us. So my career got off to a heck of a start, and ran the juniors for a couple of years. Actually started racing a big car at 14, and my career kind of progressed from there. Spent over a decade just big dollar racing, big dollar bracket racing exclusively, and then eventually ventured into the NHRA ranks here in the last 3, 4, 5 years.
And have had great success. What are your plans for 2015 and beyond? Obviously, you've won now back-to-back titles, so I feel like you're probably obligated to defend that or go for another one in another class. What are your plans for the immediate future in 2015 and then long-term, because you're building an incredible resume as a driver, and you know that if you keep winning, opportunities will come your way.
Yeah, for 2015, just going to concentrate on more of the same. I never try to look at championship defense, I don't think is the right word. Floyd Mayweather defends his championship because he fights for it every time he gets back in the ring. Nobody's ever going to take 2013 or 2014 from me. So I feel like I'm pursuing a championship just like 800 other competitors in Super Cup and Super Gas in 2015 and beyond. But yeah, our plans for 15 are more the same. We've got a new Corvette Roadster coming from Charlie Stewart Race Cars that will actually look very similar in appearance to the car that we won the championship with last year. But that car's sold now. It's got new owners in New Mexico. They seem to be very happy with it, obviously. And will they do a new car? We'll continue with the same American Race Car strategy that we've had for a couple of years in the K&N colors in Super Comp. And just concentrate on those two categories again, along with a little bit of the big dollar AT bracket racing kind of mixed into the schedule where we can fit it in.
Would you ever, if the opportunity came your way, try to climb the ladder in the Mellow Yellow series? I know that every drag racer at some level looks up to those series and says, wow, that would be fun, but the opportunities only come to a very select few drivers. I think about Sean Langdon and the way he was able to really kind of pave his way there was through great success in Super Comp. I think of Jack Beckman, won a championship. And so as soon as you're able to lock down a couple of very significant milestones in the Lucas Oil Series sportsman classes, I think someone is looking. I don't know who they are at this moment, but there's probably someone out there who's thinking, who is the next guy? Who could he be? And maybe he's Luke Bogacki. Would you do that? Would you want to do that? Have you thought about doing that if the opportunity presented itself?
Well, you certainly never say never. And I think any sportsman racer would be lying through the teeth if they said they didn't dream of at least driving a pro stock car. I think all of us kind of aspire to that at some point. But with that said, I'm unbelievably content doing what I'm doing. I shouldn't say never dream, because it's really all I ever dreamed of doing was winning championships in the sportsman categories. I feel like as a driver, I'm adept and versatile enough. I think I could be competitive in tomorrow in a good car, anything from competition eliminator down to Super Street. But what makes the most sense for me right now is it's not so much a personal goals. I'm doing this in support and family and doing what I love, having a great time. But right now, what makes the most sense for me is completely, owning my own program, which I love. I love the freedom of it, and competing in the Super Comp and Super Gas ranks. Now, on years down the road, who knows? Who knows where I'll end up being? But right now, I just feel blessed and fortunate to be able to make a living doing what I love.
That is great, and I think that's the American dream right there. The idea that you're out there chasing after it and having success catching after it is real well. Luke, one final question for you. You hear me on here. I'm always trying to get people to go bracket racing the first time in the station wagon with the wood on the sides or whatever it is that they have. Help me out. We've got a lot of listeners that they're, at this moment, content to sit in the grandstands and watch others have fun. How do we get them out there to their local NHRA member track or whatever sanction it is, actually, based on their region? For instance, me, my local track is an IHRA track. What is the best way to break the ice for a total rookie newbie person who is unsure of themselves but maybe curious?
Well, it falls on all of us as racers. If we all go out and find one person a week, two people that we can introduce to our sport and tell them a little bit about it, get them excited about it, like you say, get them to come to the racetrack. Once you're at the track, there's a segment of the population that's gearheads that are just going to be drawn to the cars. And that's cool. But I think that segment is, I don't want to say dying, it's different than it was. It's not the 1960s and 70s where the muscle car was cool and everybody wanted to understand it. To me, the draw today has to be more about competition, the strategy of it. That's what's kind of sucked me into the sport and kept me so involved for 30 years, and the camaraderie. I know, like, personally, in my wedding, I think everybody in my wedding was drag racers. The best friends that I've ever made all throughout my life, I met at the racetrack. I met my wife at the racetrack. And that's what I tell people that aren't involved in the sport. Like, live it, breathe it. Even if you're not particularly interested in motorsports drag racing, come out, because the people that you meet at the racetrack are the greatest people on earth. I think that's the best thing we got going for us.
I agree. Isn't that the truth? Couldn't have said it better myself. Folks, check out thisisbracketracing.com for more with Luke. A lot of great information on there, business directory as well. And, Luke, thank you so much for coming on WFO Radio, telling us about your second championship season back-to-back, joining an exclusive club. And I am looking forward to 2015 already. I love the way you kind of thought about trying to achieve another one as opposed to defending the title. I'm gonna start utilizing that way of approaching it, because that is absolutely accurate. You've got this in your pocket forever. No one can ever take it away. And it was great watching you do it in 2014, and good luck in 2015. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks so much. Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Thanks, Luke. Merry Christmas. Luke Bagacki, the Lucas Oil Series Supergas World Champion, and also WFO Radio listener, with us here on WFO Radio. That is just the greatest compliment ever. To think, a couple weeks ago, Peter Biondo listens to the show. What's up, Pete? Luke Bagacki listens to the show. We're putting together 2 hours of NHRA-related interviews each week, all year long, for several years, and growing an audience, building an audience. And we're really going to try in 2015 to dig even deeper into the Lucas Oil Series and speak with more and more of these drivers who are, in my opinion, clearly, not just my opinion, everyone's opinion if you talk to them, the backbone of the sport. This is where the next generation comes. It's like a ladder. You start out at your local track, bracket racing the Griswold station wagon with the wood on the side. Then you say, hey, I like this. Like Reinhardt was talking about, like Luke was just talking about. All right, I'm going to invest in a 10 to 14 second car. Like, I'm going to try to go out there and bracket race on a regular basis. And you start doing it. You start winning. You win a little bit. You're like, hey, this is really fun. I like it. I've got a little bit of disposable income. My friends come. My kids like it. We're a family that stays together. We're at the track with all these great people like Luke was just talking about, who are also in business, who are also hardworking go-getter types, because you have to be. In racing, you have to be a hardworking go-getter type personality. Now you're out there, you're racing, you're winning, you're doing well, your business is doing well. You say, you know what? I'm going to invest in the next step, the next phase. What is it? Maybe it's a full chassis bracket car. Maybe you want to go big money bracket racing, hit some of the races. Just a couple, test your mettle. What kind of a competitor are you? Are you good enough? Do you have what it takes? And then maybe you want to start racing for NHRA Wallys. You hear about the NHRA. We saw Gary Williams do it this year. He's a big money bracket racer. He's won the million and went out there and won Super Comp at the Gator Nationals this year. First NHRA Wally. It was a big deal. And next thing you know, maybe you start following the tour. You're doing that kind of thing. You're racing for world championships. It all depends on you. What you want to do. Now, you don't have to do that. Just like everybody who plays golf doesn't want or desire or need to be in the PGA. Well, I'm not going to be able to be in the PGA, so, you know, I'm just not even going to play golf. What's the point? You know, I'm not going to be able to be in the NBA, so why even bother shooting a basketball? It's not like that. It's a lot of fun going down the racetrack and trying to win or lose races. And the whole point behind bracket racing is at some point in that, maybe you find a comfortable position where you don't want to constantly increase your investment. I got to increase my investment every year and go faster and faster and faster. Maybe at some point you decide, this is good. I'm having fun right here, running 10 seconds. That's what I did. My car, the 78 Trans Am that you see in the WFO photograph archive that we've been trying to resurrect lately, need new valve springs and haven't gotten to it just yet, runs low tens. We could have done 10.20. The best ET is 10.07. Why not go for high nines? Well, there's a big lot of rules come into play once you crack the nines. Chassis certifications, a lot of stuff. At least years ago, that was the case. And so we decided, you know, what's the difference between 10.0 and 9.80? 0.3. I'm comfortable at 10.0. We just, right there, that's where the car stayed. And we raced and we had fun, plenty of fun to be had. So it's great to hear someone like Luke out there climbing the ladder, and great to have him on the show. And in 2015, we are going to look forward to getting together with more Lucas Oil Series racers of all classes and try our best. This year, we really delved into the alcohol classes. If you go back into the archive, this is something that I would like to do, but I'm not going to. But you, as WFO radio listeners, are invited to, if you want to do my work for me, which is go into the archive and let me know which of the interviews that we had in 2014 were the best, that you enjoyed the most, that were the most revealing, that had the most insight, that were the most entertaining, the best interviews. Which ones were the best interviews? I would love to know. You can go back into the interview archive. You can see every interview that we've had, for the most part, or into the NHRA Nitro show archive. I do know that a lot of our winter views that happened at the track where I was announcing didn't necessarily make the short clip section. But we have got a ton in there. Don the Snake, just great stuff throughout the year. Send me an email, joe@wforadio.com, and we try our best to accommodate your ideas. Now, we do have the wide open line as well, 954-889-6796. And one of our great WFO listeners, Aaron, from South Dakota, has been calling back and forth, and he and I have been having like this conversation. I answer on the air, and then he sends me a Skype voice message, and I listen to it. And you may recall over the past couple of weeks talking about the whole, our teams in certain situations throwing races for the greater good, that conversation. And so last week, Reinhardt and I talked about it, and Aaron called with a response. And the response was like 8 minutes long. So I can't play it, Aaron. I can't play it. It's got to be like a minute. You know, listeners, they have a very short attention span. Can't play 8 minutes of call. But I think it was more directed at me. And I listened to it, and I understand. He basically made the point that it's not good for drag racing to have that stuff go on. And I think we found like a nice place to pause and just reflect and see how it develops in the future. He understands our situation and my thought that even if it is happening, the question is, how do you stop it? What can you do? There is no way. And I understand his point that, it can be a bummer if you think it's happening. And there it is. But the real point is, if you've got a thought, idea, comment, you want to get on the show, call the wide open line, 954-889-6796. And you can leave it just like a voicemail anytime, day or night. And we play them and we listen to them. And sometimes we use them on the show, especially if they're between 30 seconds and a minute. That's really the hot spot. That's the sweet spot right there. Now, some breaking news. Of course, the show coming out Tuesdays. If you are a very astute Nitro listener, you know that this show has come out a little bit early this week because of Christmas and Christmas Eve and everybody is shopping, going crazy. We were able to get after it a little bit early and to make the show available a little bit early so that you can get some listening in. The Ignition show this week is all ready up. You can listen to the Ignition show. We've had some great fun on that, trying our best to get together and entertain ourselves and maybe the audience in particular. But some news coming out here at the time of this final segment, reported by CompetitionPlus.com, that Drew Skillman is going to race Pro Stock in 2015. That is very cool. As a teammate to the reigning world Pro Stock champion, Erica Ender-Stevens. They're going to run 15 races. So that's a lot. Their sponsor is going to be Ray Skillman Chevrolet in Indianapolis. Ray is Drew's grandfather. And if you go out there, obviously there's a lot of cars sponsored by the Skillmans. But I think this is exactly the ladder that we were talking about. Running in super stock, running in stock, running bracket races, running competition eliminator, climbing the ladder. Next thing you know, you're in pro stock. And running for a championship caliber team, 15 national events. And it will be a learning year for Drew Skillman. And there you go, guest, got to get him on the show. And according to the story on CompetitionPlus.com, Drew has said that Mark Ingersoll will be the crew chief on his machine. And Ingersoll, of course, has been with Alan Johnson for a long time. So very, very interesting storyline. Coming out of NHRA Pro Stock, very exciting and cool things going on. Other news before we get out of here this week. I don't know if you saw it, but it's great. John Force Racing Ashley Force, I believe, was the editor of the project, put it all together. You think about Ashley, and obviously she's in motherhood land right now. But there are areas where these things can merge, and did a great video using 100% GoPro cameras, hashtag GoPro, to shoot the video of her sons, like, talking about their grandfather and showing all these behind-the-scenes shots of John Force Racing and things that are happening and all of that. And it was very well put together. I enjoyed it greatly. We put it on our Facebook page, but it is also everywhere, everywhere in the NHRA community, I think, did a good job of sharing it. But also, it makes me wonder, what's GoPro? What's going on? GoPro. GoPro. John Force Racing. GoPro. Doing something with GoPro. Sharing a GoPro video. Trying to get lots of shares out there. What's up with that? Getting very curious as to, is that a sign of something to come? I can tell you that I recently purchased the GoPro Hero 4 for our work here on WFO Radio. And it's awesome. Now, I know you know that. Everybody has had a GoPro but me for a long time. And it is fantastic. And I'm just getting started learning it. It's like you get a new six-disc clutch, and it takes some time to figure out what you can and cannot do with it. I just love the fact I can look at my phone and see what the camera sees. It's outrageous. Also, Competition Plus, since we're talking about them, they got some news. I got them up right now. The Don Garlitz Legends series. Bobby Bennett was on a couple of weeks ago, told us about it. It's now up. It's very worthwhile watching. It's 26 minutes long. And really good stuff. Garlitz. You got to think about Garlitz. Garlitz, this guy is an icon, but he doesn't consider himself that. What I found to be the most interesting, and I would love to see the outtakes, Bobby. I want to see the outtakes. Was Garlitz talking about he and Wally Parks, his relationship with Wally Parks. I found that to be very interesting. You know, the early days of drag racing and how much the payouts should be. Like, what's it worth? I found that to be very interesting information. So check that out on our great friends, CompetitionPlus.com. Well, folks, I guess that is going to do it. We are getting ready to roll out of here for Christmas. Next week, there will be a show, a Nitro show. What will be on it, I do not know. I've got a couple of things I'm working on in the mix. Going to try to keep the run of champions going. Had Luke Bagacki this week. Been talking with David Rampe. Going to try to get together with David. Still got Edmund Richardson we've got to get tracked down. But working very hard on making this show as top-notch as possible. I also see Jason Rittenberry was named Innovator of the Year. That's good. Way to go, Jason. From IRG, and of course our most close track to me in the WFO studios is PBIR, where the Pro Winter Warm-Up will be happening not long from now. Looking forward to that. Big thanks to our guests, Terry McMillan, for coming on the show, giving us a great explanation as to the moves that he has made. Talk about a tumultuous offseason for Terry McMillan. Perhaps it will result in great performances in 2015. And congratulations to Rob Wendland, who has been a friend of the show for a long time. And just a couple weeks ago, free agent. Now, you know, Terry McMillan, crew chief. Very cool. Leah Pritchett for coming on the show. Get those die casts. Urgency to purchase. There's 25 of them. Which, to me, I'm thinking there's got to be a couple on the desk of all the big sponsors and all of that. The diecast car is very important. Our WFO studios are about to go through a major overhaul here in the offseason. And for various reasons that will remain secret at the moment. How do you like that for a tease? But cool diecasts in the studio are never a bad thing. So thanks to Leah Pritchett for coming on WFO Radio, and looking forward to see her at preseason testing. It's right around the corner. And Luke Bagacki, compelling you to get out there and try bracket racing at your local NHRA member track. And more importantly, just a good guy. I'm thinking age and experience-wise, very well-spoken individual. You know, these are the kind of people that are going to power the sport of drag racing into the future. Who are the next people? Who is next? The next wave of drivers. And they're coming. It's going to happen. It's happening as we speak. And I'm just thrilled to be around it, part of it, watch it as this sport advances into the future. Very, very cool. So thanks to everyone for coming on the show. Thank you to all you listeners. This is a time of year where everybody kind of reflects. We reflect on things that happened and what's going on. When we built the show, WFO Radio, years ago on satellite, and then before that in Miami on Sports Talk, but we realized that NHRA was underappreciated, undercovered, underutilized, that the driver personalities in NHRA drag racing, all the way up to Top Fuel and all the way down to Super Street, even bracket racing, a lot of great characters, a lot of fun people, a lot of great personalities, a lot of successful business people, a lot of people that deserve a little bit of attention, that can compel the audience out there. And that's when we designed the show. We created the show. We have the Mellow Yellow winners on every week after a national event. That's our shtick. And first-time listeners have been contacting us, and long-time listeners have been sharing the show, retweeting the show, following on social media, preaching the gospel. We got our WFO Radio t-shirts for the first time this year, and they are selling like wildfire. If you're Double X, you better order like yesterday. People sporting their WFO Radio t-shirts out there at national events. Cool stuff going on, and I can hope that we can only continue to grow and bring on new listeners 2015 and beyond, so we can continue doing this program for you each week. All right. I've gone too far, so we're going to wrap it up and get on out of here. Get ready for Christmas. Thank you to everyone. Alan Reinhart. How about that? Starting up the car right here on the air. After all these years, you think maybe it was a something played off his Android phone. Like some sound effects from a... No, I know. It was real. Obviously. But I just thought that was cool. Felt like we were hanging in the shop. Thanks to Terry McMillan, Leah Pritchett, Luke Bagacki, and everyone who has participated on this show. We will have a show next week. Don't forget the Ignition Show is available as we speak. It's already there. Doing things a little bit early. That is going to do it. Thanks to everyone behind the scenes, Giovanni in Miami and Patrick the Webmaster, and everyone who helps out with our Facebook page, Matt Mann, and all of our diehard WFO listeners who are constantly retweeting the show and preaching the gospel. That's going to do it. We'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO Radio.
That was terrible!
Horrendous!
I'm offended!
I'm appalled!
So what are we going to do?
What else?
Email it to everybody we know!
Good idea.